Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, it's a 98.5 KTK Morning Show recap for Tuesday, January 7th. Let's jump right into it, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
We found out that you should not be abbreviating the year 2020, especially on important documents like bank or financial information. And it's because somebody could go behind it and put two numbers at the end of your 20.
Like today's date is January the 7th, so you do 1/7/20. But somebody can add 00 after that, 19 after that. Let's say it's on a contract, and they say, no, you owe me an extra year's worth of payments because you signed it at 2019.
I was kind of laughing this off when I first heard the story. I'm thinking, I used to do that, you know, changing your D's to B's on your report card, you know. But it's actually coming from the National Association of Consumer Advocates. So it's coming from an organization that just wants to put safeguards. So they kind of alerted the police, who are alerting everyone else, as we are as well. But
just getting the habit. I was doing that yesterday. I was writing some checks yesterday. I said, what the heck? I'll just do 2020.
I started doing that a long time ago when I had to fill out my, you know, like when you go to pick up a prescription, they ask you for your date of birth.
Right.
And so I just started throwing all four numbers in it, and I got kind of stuck. So everything I ever do is always four numbers.
Good. That's good. You're Y2K compatible.
Yeah. I mean, that's where all that knowledge are. Not saving space there. This was kind of a melancholy, sad story because it really kind of tells you about the younger generation and what they look for our future. This actually is a YouGov poll found that 10% of people under the age of 35 who have never had children say that they will never have children and they don't want them in the future, and they cite climate change as the reason.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah.
It is kind of scary, you know, especially with me adopting, you know, the one son. It's like, you know, what does the future have in store for you?
It makes you think. It changes your perspective, doesn't it?
It very much does. But number one on the list of reasons why people don't want to have kids is that it's the cost. Kids are expensive. Milk is expensive.
Yeah. And I would also like to point, and so are student loan payments.
Yes.
That's got to be a big part of it,
and
too.
They eat all the time. They break your stuff. They're expensive.
You need another diaper? Seriously?
Not wanting a lifestyle impacted by children, number two on the list with 21%. And then 14% said that the world already has too many people, so why add to the mix?
My thing is, like, I saw the movie Children of Men and I got freaked out anyway. And I was just like, with the whole climate change thing and then also just the state of the world, I'm thinking when I die, like, what am I leaving them to? You know?
Yeah.
I would much rather adopt and know that I was helping somebody that's already here on the planet. Like you said, there's already a lot of people, right? Bring a new life into the world to experience that. I mean, maybe it'll take a great turn for the better and I'll just be wrong, but.
Yeah, it is true, but you know it does make you worry. Like I was reading a report that Jacksonville had the hottest fall on record.
Right.
Australia's on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the stuff happens, but it just seems like, I don't know if we're hearing it more because of the 24-hour news cycle or if it hasn't indeed coming because of climate change. And it's just kind of one of these things where the evidence seems to be there, but
that's what the scientists say. And I'm not a climate scientist, so I'm going to kind of go with them. But scientists did get us to the moon and back, which you got to hand them. That's a pretty good little trick, science.
Well, and they cured polio, but you know.
Well, yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah, and
I'm just a radio guy.
They cured mumps and measles and chicken pox, but barely. That's starting to make an inroad now.
Yeah, that's true. So when does the roaring 20s decade begin? Does it begin this year of 2020, or does it begin in 2021? That is the question we have all been asking. And, of course, we've been accustomed to decades being from the 0 to the 9. So, you know, the 90s would be 1990 to 1999.
Sure.
But this is kind of along the lines with the millennial started. It's because of the Gregorian calendar. And back in the 6th century, there was an abbot named Dionysus. And, of course, the Gregorian calendar is based on the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He figured out where he thought was the birth of Jesus Christ, and in the Roman numerals, there is no zero. So one was put there. So that's what you were saying.
That's
you
what's know, messing us up here.
The 1900s is actually the 20th century.
Yeah, exactly. You always have to do that math. Like, it was 1670, you know, in the 17th century.
So. What? In essence, what happened is that that is why some people tend to think, including Farmers Almanac and the U.S. Naval Observatory, actually favor the decade beginning in 2021 and will end in 2030.
Okay.
So they started on the ones and then the 30s.
The thing you said, Storm, about the centuries, that always throws me off. I have to think about it every time it's said out loud.
I have to do the math. Yeah. It's like, why
do I have to do the
math?
We've all just... Yeah, and we've all just thrown Roaring Twenties parties a year too early. So this is the end of the decade that we just had, and now we've got to start all over again next year.
Yeah, we still have the decorations, though.
There you go. Huh? That's your one thing.
Yeah, you know, I saw somebody had put up, for the graduates this year, a lot of the New Year's Eve 2020 stuff, you can still use it. You know, if you graduate in 2020, you can use the glasses with 2020. You know what I mean? So don't throw away your New Year's Eve stuff.
And don't throw any of those cute shoes you thought you bought. You got a blister, and then you threw them in the back of your closet, and you just are like, you're done with them.
You know, you buy something online, and you're not sure about the sizes. This has happened to me. I have a couple of pairs of shoes that are just too darn tight because I'm using an 11. I should have got an 11 and a half, but I didn't know.
Yeah. You know, my big thing is now Asian sizes. So,
especially when you order from Amazon or something, like I have to look at the size chart and then read the reviews and figure out if they're actually like an Asian large is really like I need to order like a quadruple.
Yeah, exactly.
Large.
You need to order like a 4X or something.
Like something from India. Yeah. I think I'm bigger than a lot of people in India.
So think about this with shoes. This is actually a pretty cool hack that will stretch them and break them in for you. By the way, do you know Queen Elizabeth has an official person that breaks in her shoes?
You know, it's good to be the queen, isn't it?
And I don't know if they use this method or not, but here's what you want to do. Grab the shoes.
Yeah.
Grab your hair dryer.
All righty.
Grab your normal pair of socks.
Yes, sir.
And then look for the thickest pair of socks you can find.
Shoes, hair dryer, thick socks, regular socks. All right, let's go.
Put both pairs of socks on.
All right.
Put the shoe on.
Yes, sir.
When you can't feel your toes, you know you're doing it right. The idea is that you're going to take your hair dryer with your foot already in there with that extra padding, is you're going to warm up the material and somewhat have it mold to your foot.
So I guess if it's leather or something, or maybe it should be able to stretch a little bit, right?
It stretches it, yeah.
Yeah, give it a little bit of stretch. So put it on high, go over your shoe with it, and then turn off the hair dryer, walk around with it for just a few minutes, and then take them off. Try them again without the extra socks on to see if they're significantly sufficiently stretched. If they're not, repeat the process.
All right.
Just don't do it on shoes that are synthetic or plastic because you could melt them. And
No jelly shoes or Crocs.
No jelly shoes and Storm and his Crocs. Yeah.
I don't know the medical code for melted shoe on foot, but I'm sure there is one. So don't go to the emergency room.
I saw a meme online. It showed a guy with a white foot with a bunch of dots on it.
Yeah.
It was the Croc tan.
Oh, my gosh.
Wearing your Croc without socks.
Yeah. So we've also found out the perfect temperature for soup, believe it or not, is a range between 136 to 162 degrees Fahrenheit.
We're calling that Goldilocks.
And the reason for that is that, believe it or not, the hotter the soup gets, the more flavorful it becomes. There's actually
science. It's going to be the aromatics, too, because you taste with your nose.
Right.
About 60% of the taste is your nose. So if you got if it's warmer, you got more odors coming up.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. That's the analogy of when you're working out in the gym and you're hot. You stink more. sorry.
No soup for me, thanks.
Let's talk about that delicious soup.
Let's get back on the tracks here. There's actually science that talks about that food actually does, temperature affects of the flavor of food. They found that...
was it cottage cheese?
That cheddar cheese is more...
It tastes sour when it's warm.
Sour when it's warm, and then ham tastes more salty when it's cool.
Interesting.
So this is kind of the logic behind it. So the hotter the soup gets, the more flavor it has. But of course, everyone's different. I don't want to scorch the top of my mouth. So there really is no right way. But they do say if you can cook it anywhere between 136 to 162, that's going to be the best optimal flavor for you.
All right.
And then do we need screen protectors anymore? This article says no because glass has gotten so much better. But I will tell you, my brand new iPhone 11 Pro has a nice little crack right here.
Look at that. Do you have that's on your screensaver? That's the little plastic.
No, there's no screensaver. That's the glass.
That's the glass.
So you're really?
Yeah, it's got a crack there. Aww. Now, Janie did bring a good point because you were saying, you know, a few years ago when you had like the iPhone 4 and you would break the screen, what would happen?
Yeah, you'd drop the phone and the whole thing would just shatter. I mean, little pieces of glass would actually fall out, but more importantly, all the pixels underneath would start to bleed. Now that doesn't really happen. Like if you drop your phone and it cracks, but it's more like a spider web crack in like the corner and then the one or two larger cracks across the screen. But usually you can still use your phone these days if it's cracked. You know, it's not like once it shatters, it's dead.
It's like the when you get a rock that hits your windshield and you have a little crack, but it's okay.
Right.
Spider crack.
But and then you end up having to take it to one of these shady places to replace the screen with no warranty for like $200, but the phone is $600, so you go for it, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm like, it's so expensive to get the thing, and I didn't get the insurance, and I don't even know if they would have covered it because, you know, I obviously dropped the phone.
Do you remember dropping it?
No, but it has dropped several times.
Do you have a
case on it? But this is the first time I've ever had the screen, the glass portion actually crack.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there you go. Hey, that's our show for today, Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. Of course, we're live Monday through Friday between 5 and 10 on 98.5 KTK and on the radio.com app.
Remember, the sun is always shining.
And have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.